Towards Fury. I'm Chris.
And I'm Charles.
And today we're going to cover the case of the real boogeyman, also known from a documentary as Cropsey, also known as Andre Ran. But please do us a favor as we get started here. Think of three friends and share our podcast with each of them. Just copy the link and share it out. You can do that before you've even had your first cup of coffee. Like me, except I don't drink coffee at night. Only in the morning. But when I do drink my coffee, I've been using Laird's Superfoods creamers, and I love it. I don't know that I could have my cup of coffee without it. Charles likes it, and he drinks a lot more coffee than I do. I discovered that Laird's Superfoods creamers are crafted from the highest quality, all-natural ingredients.
And look, maybe not like Chris, but I'm getting a little older. And I need to watch what I put into my body. And that's where Laird Superfood has me covered, especially when I'm drinking coffee morning, noon, and night. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because there's no artificial flavors, colors, and or additives.
Very good. Oh, you did your little radio voice there at the end. I like that.
That's actually my natural voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to LairdSuperfood.com. And add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use our promo code, COWARDSFURY, at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. I wonder if Andre Ran drank coffee.
So, it's October.
It's spooky season, my favorite.
And I see this kid in high school, and he's got an orange shirt on, and he's got a pumpkin, you know, like a jack-o'-lantern.
Like with him?
Like on a shirt, on the orange shirt. Like
oh,
a black,
on a
like
shirt.
A black jack-o'-lantern on the shirt. And I'm like, you know, and usually I see these high school kids and I'm thinking like, you know, I'm sure this kid has an attitude. And then, you know, you find out they're pretty polite. And so lately my mindset's been, oh, nice kid. Or, you know, I'm sure the kid's got a bright future. And I'm like, oh, what a nice kid. He's in the, you know, the Halloween spirit. And then underneath it, it says Cocktober. That's it. And I was like, you know, if I had the balls, I'd wear that out in public. And I might just order one. I don't know. But I can't say that I haven't seen something like
that.
Do
they even allow that in schools?
But what I can say is that I thought, that's kind of chuckled in my mind. You know what I mean?
It was kind of funny. I chuckled out loud.
I know. It was great, right? So Andre, not the giant, Rand, in honor of Cocktober, I mean October, he really was like the real deal boogeyman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, his original name, the one he was born with, was Frank Rostam Ruschen, March 11th, 1944, in Manhattan, New York.
That's when he was born.
Yes.
That's what Chris was trying to say.
It was. I didn't say the born
part. She jumped right in.
Well, you know. His upbringing unfolded in Ithaca, New York, and during the early 1960s, he served in the Army.
Now, I said this in one of the last few podcasts. It's either, you know, some terrible abuse as a child, being dropped.
Yeah.
You know, strange explosions or mutilations of animals, or the Army.
Mm, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, when Rand was 14 years old, tragedy struck. His father passed away on March 27th, 1958. In a distressing twist of fate, his mother was institutionalized at the Pilgrim Psychiatric Center in Brentwood, New York, as well.
That's when they named things Pilgrim.
Right.
And Indian.
Yeah. As teenagers, Rand and his sister would pay her visits. But according to his younger sister, neither of them had experienced any abuse from either one of their parents. So as you aptly pointed out, oftentimes with these sickos, they do experience abuse. This did not appear to be the case in, you know, Rand's life.
I did aptly point that out, didn't I?
You did. You were very apt.
And do you know why I'm very apt?
Why?
Because I had my coffee with my special creamer.
Yes, you did.
I was going to do some.
Very good.
October pumpkin spice latte. What did they do it? October?
Yes.
What is that everyone wants?
Pumpkin spice latte. PSL, man.
I was going to do the pumpkin spice in my coffee, but I didn't.
Oh, well, that's all right next time. Andre Rand is infamous as the most notorious criminal in Staten Island's history.
And there's been other cases we've done on Staten Island. Mm-hmm. I might, you know, just remind everyone.
Yes. But so he did some really horrifying stuff targeting innocent children. Fortunately, his tale, I know, his tale concluded with permanent prison sentence. This convicted kidnapper and suspected child serial killer left behind a trail of tragedy that offers little solace. Currently, he's serving consecutive 25 years to life sentences.
He's still alive?
So, spoiler alert. No.
Oh, because it's like...
I meant...
You said currently.
I said currently.
Damn.
He's dead.
Damn. This motherfucker, he's old. Like 300 years old.
Something like that.
He's born in 44.
So. You know, sometimes I write these late at night, okay? Roll with me.
Actually, he wouldn't be that. It would be like 85?
Mm.
My math's not that quick right now.
Yeah, something like that. The dark and morbidly captivating journey of this man began as a chilling real-life bedtime story for the children of Staten Island. They were told tales of a boogeyman like...
A boogeyman.
Like figure with a hook for a hand. I was told stories like that, and I'm not from Staten Island. I was told a story like... There's two young lovers in a car, and they're kissing, and they hear like a
Everyone's heard screech. That story.
It's a man with a hook.
The man with the hook.
Yeah, I didn't know his name was Cropsy, though, but whatever. Anyway, this one would snatch children away from the safety of their homes and transport them to an abandoned hospital, which is kind of a weird thing. But this malevolent presence became known as Cropsy, a role that Andre Rand would soon embody as he committed eerily similar acts terrorizing the Staten Island community. While eerie bedtime stories are a staple of most people's early childhoods, as we just mentioned, these ominous tales took a disconcerting turn toward reality. Fact and fiction intertwined as local children began to vanish, and no one was held accountable for years. Between the years 1966 and 1968, under the alias Bruchette, he found employment as a physical therapy aide at New York's Willowbrook State School, later rebranded as Staten Island Development Center.
They're real original with that naming.
It's so stupid. It's just an institution. This facility, dedicated to the care of children with disabilities, or at least that's what they say, relied on funding from the state of New York, of course. Initially, it appeared to be well-operated and smoothly functioning. However, beneath its veneer of normalcy, troubling conditions and unorthodox medical practices would soon come to light.
That's right.
And I could probably do...
Buckle your seatbelt, folks. We're going to learn a little bit about this joint.
But we're not going to focus on Willowbrook because, to be honest, after diving into a few rabbit holes, I could do an entire episode just on Willowbrook and other institutions like it.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, they were horrible.
So they weren't well run?
No, they were horrible. Oh, like, literal child abuse factories.
Oh.
Upon closure of Willowbrook, Andre Rand was compelled to seek alternative employment.
So it's basically like working at McDonald's.
He needed another job.
Yeah.
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 Regrettably, during this period, his activities took a much darker turn. Between the school's shutdown and the early 70s, a series of unsettling events unfolded in the vicinity. Multiple young girls mysteriously disappeared, and a series of other troubling incidents occurred. On May 5th, 1969, Rand's name entered the law enforcement's radar when he was apprehended in the South Bronx for the heinous crimes of kidnapping and attempting to rape a 9-year-old girl. Isn't that nice?
This guy's just sick.
Hundo.
Yeah.
In this harrowing incident, he lured the innocent child into his vehicle and transported her to a secluded parking lot. There he proceeded to undress both himself and the young victim. A twist of fate intervened when a police patrol car fortuitously arrived at the scene, thwarting the crime in progress. In the ensuing legal proceedings, Andre Rand pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of sexual abuse. Subsequently, he found himself behind bars, yay, not going to stay there very long, serving a 16-month prison sentence. His release on parole finally came in January of 1972.
I'd think, like, if that happened to someone in the Bronx, like, They're seeking like vigilante justice. This was like
street justice.
What was it like, Charles Bronson?
In the early 70s.
Wasn't this like the thing, like, yeah, vigilante probably. Justice in New York City?
Yeah, in the early 70s.
Yeah. Where was he? Oh, wait, he was filming on set. I was going to say,
he's a TV character.
I forget the name of his character. I should know this.
You gotta look it up.
I might.
Good. It was during this period that Frank Rostam Rushen created his own little transformation, legally changing his name to Andre Rand. He also became embroiled in ongoing suspicions, albeit without prosecutorial success, surrounding the unexplained disappearance of several young girls in the area. Rand was working as a painter when the first child in his path of destruction, 5-year-old Alice Pereira, went missing. Alice was last seen on July 10th, 1972. So this is literally just a few months after he got released. The toddler seemed to vanish into thin air while playing in her neighborhood, just a few miles southeast of Willowbrook. Alice was playing in the Tyson's Lane apartment lobby with her brother and disappeared around 3:30 p.m. after he briefly left her alone. After that, Alice might have been seen in a park close to the apartment complex in the island's New Dorp neighborhood. And I had to, like, pause for a minute because it sounded weird. New Dorp, but that's what it's called.
New Dorp. Mm-hmm. You got it.
So Tyson's Lane, that's the apartment complex where this girl disappeared, was where Rand was a painter. Coincidence? I don't think so. By this point, Rand had already served 10 months in prison for a variety of other offenses, including the abduction of children. 10 months for the abduction of children? Really?
And then 16 months for it's like, really?
I know. He was never convicted of kidnapping or abduction, as none of the kids were harmed, but he did serve time for unlawful imprisonment. Pereira went missing while Rand was released as a free man. Naturally, authorities considered him a prime suspect in her disappearance. But there just wasn't enough evidence to convict him. However, the little girl was never seen again. During this time, there were other potential victims of Rand. Some were not children. Shin Lee, 44, had gone missing in 1978. She was a nurse at Willowbrook. She was reported missing on July 20th and was last seen walking home close to midnight. She was found murdered by strangulation and buried in a shallow grave near a woodland area on facility grounds.
There he goes, throwing someone in the bushes.
Yes. Wow, yeah. That dates back to our...
This is just what they do. We have figured out the patterns.
They throw people in bushes. It's true.
And they don't have... They're crazy.
Yeah.
We've cracked the code.
That's what the guy from Buffalo did.
I don't want a Nobel Prize. I just want everyone to know we've cracked Chris here.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of the wit from Charles. We've cracked the code.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Crack-a-lack.
Mm-hmm. Crack-a-lack. Well, this happened 2 months prior to Ethel's disappearance. Oh.
Ethel
Louise Atwell, 42, was a physical therapy assistant.
Another one at Willowbrook.
At Willowbrook, exactly. They got
the little spider. The cops have that little spider web going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like they on a board with the strings.
They didn't have whiteboards back then.
They used pins and strings.
Pins, strings, and slate and chalk.
Yeah, and not a lot of luck.
A lot of whiskey in their coffee.
Yep. So Ethel was last seen October 24th, 1978. So that's the same year. At 6 p.m., she arrived at work, parked her car and locked it, and then headed toward the building. But before she even got there, two female employees inside the building heard a male voice say, "Come on, come on," and Atwell say, "No, you'll beat me." Then she screamed. Her colleagues called the police as when they heard this.
He said, "Come on, come on."
Okay.
What did he say?
"Come on, come on."
Come on. Come on.
You keep changing it on me.
I know. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. So the police came, but it was very dark. And you know, back in those days, nothing you'll was beat well me. Lit.
Was it Shen? Who was it?
No, this is Ethel Louise Atwell.
I got nothing.
No, don't worry about it.
Atwell.
So the police came, but it was very dark. And they really couldn't see much.
They left.
Well, no. Of Ethel's belongings... A tan pocketbook, one earring, one black shoe, three black coat buttons, that's never a good sign, and part of her set of dentures, really not a good sign, were all found by police outside the driver's side of her locked car. Also, about 75 feet away in the woods, her car keys were found on the ground.
That's it. No victim. We never know who did that one.
No, they're never convicted. They are considered victims of Rand, but there was no evidence to charge him with those. but they are thought to be his victims as well. In 1979, he was accused of raping a young woman and a 15-year-old girl, but neither pressed charges, so they didn't do anything about it. In 1981, Rand offered another 9-year-old girl a lollipop and tried to enter to entice her to ride in his Volkswagen. He drives a Volkswagen. It's funny. When she refused his offer, Rand followed her to her home and searched for her while she hid under a rug.
So he just wandered around the house?
Yeah. Yes. This poor girl. She must have been terrified. Well, this is the freaking late 70s, early 80s. Weird shit happened back then.
Yeah.
On July 15th, 1981, 7-year-old Holly Ann Hughes went missing after her mother sent her to the store to buy some soap, but she never... Who sends a 7-year-old to the store to buy soap?
Holly Ann...
Even in the 80s. I'm sorry, but...
It seems odd.
Nope.
And this is in Staten Island. Like, where was this? Was it Staten Island?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's what you do in Staten Island. I mean, I don't know.
That's crazy. Her parents filed a missing persons report, while several witnesses claimed to have seen the girl with Rand shortly before her disappearance, including having seen Rand's green Volkswagen circle the business where Holly disappeared. Once again, no actual evidence led to no actual arrest. And who knows how many other minor or major things Rand must have been up to during that 10 years. So essentially what we're saying is between 71 and 81, there was a whole bunch of crazy stuff that went on. Wait. Some of which we just don't know about. On January 9th, 1983, Rand collected, get this, 11 children from West Brighton, loaded them into a van, and set off on a 5-hour jaunt to Newark, neglecting to ask parental permission. It's like, okay.
What is happening?
It's not like the Gilligan's Island, where they went on a 3-hour tour. Nope, this guy just kidnapped kids for 5 hours. So they spent the day eating, you love this, White Castle hamburgers, and watching planes land at Newark Airport. After 5 hours of this, he drove the children back to the YMCA where he had abducted them and returned them. While none of the children were harmed, Rand was arrested on charges of unlawful imprisonment, convicted in March, and sentenced to 10 months in jail. He was back on the street by August, listed as a suspect when 10-year-old Tahis Jackson vanished on Staten Island. Then, in 1980...
This is crazy.
This is bizarro.
Talk about slipping through the cracks.
Oh, yes.
How's this guy... I don't even understand. I get one or two families letting this slide, but there's got to be someone on Staten Island and in the Bronx and wherever this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
11 children. And he just gets 10 months. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Then in 19...
This is a system failure.
This is definitely a system failure.
Yes. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's bad.
I can't believe this. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I was excited about the Cocktober thing. I got that out. Now I'm just like beside myself. You're like,
what?
Well, that was supposed to be, that was my big punchline for today.
I got it. We didn't do a shout out either.
I did to the kid wearing the Cocktober shirt.
Oh, that was your shout out.
Yeah, his name is, I don't know, what's a kid's name that would wear that?
Lucas?
Lucas.
There you go.
Shout out to old Luke. Skip a hop along Luke. He's a big kid. You know, he's probably a football player, you know, but seemed happy. A little bit of an attitude.
Oh,
I liked him.
Good.
Yeah.
Luke, well.
Old Luke.
Old Luke. In 1984, 21-year-old Hank Gafforio vanished. He had gone drinking at the spa lounge. The spa lounge.
I mean, he's 84.
I know.
Yeah, that was a good place to be.
And had been seen with Rand at a diner before vanishing. He lived on the same block as Rand and was reported as having cognitive disabilities. People in the Staten Island area knew these crimes were somehow connected, but were terrified because no one had been held accountable up to
this
point.
Is like the whole boogeyman thing, right?
It really is.
And isn't it funny he's going after the cognitive disability guy? Because, you know, he was comfortable with it because he used to, you know, abuse people at the...
Willowbrook, yeah.
At the psych ward.
Yeah.
Or whatever they called it. Was it the... In Cowboy and Indian Reservation or whatever. Something. The Pilgrimage Inn. Something ridiculous. What's going on?
No, the Pilgrim thing was where his mother was institutionalized. So where he worked was always called Willowbrook. And then they changed the name after that, but
okay,
whatever. So 3 years later, police finally caught a break in the investigation. Jennifer Schweiger, a 12-year-old girl born with Down syndrome, so another cognitive disability,
mm-hmm.
was reported missing on July 9th, 1987. People had seen Rand with Jennifer the day she disappeared, although Rand first denied ever seeing or knowing the girl. So he got cocky, got caught, like, people saw him with her, and he tried to deny it. The search for her or her body lasted 35 days and ended in trauma. According to the New York Times, Schweiger was found dead in a shallow grave on the former property of the Willowbrook State School. Go figure.
Go figure.
When we dug it up and found a little foot there, said Bob Devine, a volunteer on the search committee for Schweiger, it's something that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life.
Because we found a little foot.
That's shitty. I don't think I could forget that.
Yeah, no.
Rand had already been arrested in connection with Schweiger's kidnapping before the girl's corpse had been discovered. He was caught lying to reporters claiming he'd never met the girl, as we already stated, which contradicted the statements by numerous witnesses. So he then changed his story once his defense lawyer heard about these individual accounts. So his lawyer's like, buddy, you better fess up to something.
Right.
When Schweiger's body was found, Rand was charged with her murder, adding to the kidnapping charge. In 1988, even though a jury couldn't agree on a murder conviction, they did convict on the kidnapping charge, getting him off the streets. So that's good, I guess. According to...
Well, yeah, they do it for like 10 months, and then he's back out.
Well, this time he's not going to get so lucky.
I mean, I know. I'm
Thank
just,
God.
Like, finally.
It's how many people have to die, though, before they get it right?
I've lost count.
According to the New York Daily News, although there wasn't enough evidence at the time, Rand was found guilty of Hughes' kidnapping in 2004, over two decades after she went missing. Since there was no statute of limitations in New York for first-degree kidnapping, it was possible to charge and convict Rand of the crime. He was given an additional 25 years to life sentence on top of the one he was already serving. All in all, the Staten Island boogeyman sits behind bars to this day for the kidnapping of Holly Ann Hughes and Jennifer Schweiger. And won't be eligible. Oh, no, he is still alive.
See, he's still alive.
I got confused between two cases, I think, because I was looking up two at the same time.
Yeah.
This is what I was thinking. When you asked me how old he was, I was thinking he's going to be in his 90s. He will be in his 90s when he is eligible for parole in 2037. He'd be 93.
So now he's like a fresh 80.
So, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so he is still alive. Sorry. Sometimes I get my cases a little jumbled in my mind. According to Staten Island Live, Rand sent numerous letters to the Advance while behind bars. These were, and if you look these up online, it is very eerie the way these letters look. They're very neatly written. He wrote them on Mother's Day, wrote them to, quote, all the ladies on Staten Island who supported prosecutorial vindictiveness against an innocent person. What a fucking douche. You can find the photos of them. They're, like I said, very oddly disturbing, but they use weird punctuation and capitalization and sort of different typeset in his printing. Here's a quote from this asshat. Quote, should I become a millionaire, it would be my true nature to grant all of you with each an envelope full of seeds to plant and cultivate a rose bush, (shrub), that produces roses every season as a token of my heartfelt forgiveness year after year, rather than bouquets of rosebuds which blossoms and shortly dies out, end quote. What a moron.
I got nothing.
Narcissistic ass.
It's not even witty.
It's disgusting. His latest writings came nearly a decade after his last correspondence with the paper. In November of 2001, he sent them a batch of mail, some of which had dated back to 1994, so he like held on to them and then sent them all together. These were also in his very neat handwriting and strange punctuation and use of capitalization. The letters included thorough arguments against things like nuclear arms race, memories of racing hot rods as a child, and emotional pleas to develop a kind correspondence with an old man for quote-unquote friendship. Wait. I got news for you, pal. Nobody wants to be your friend.
So...
he wants a friend. Would you like to be his friend?
A buddy?
Yeah, he needs a buddy.
Be my buddy, buddy. Hey, buddy.
That's a beer. Isn't it called Buddy Buddy?
I don't know.
I think it's called Buddy Buddy. No, it's called Are You My Buddy Buddy, right?
Did we just become best buddy buddy?
The beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a good beer.
Looked like the pedophile, like enticing, like
the vampire,
a child vampire.
Yes.
To be the friend.
Through and the computer.
So it's like the victim.
Yeah.
Is actually the stalker.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
that's the kind of buddy he needs.
Yeah, it, exactly.
Buddy, buddy. Did we just become best buddy, buddy?
He also included a sketch of a small airplane and the interior control panel, because why not?
Because that makes all sorts of sense.
It doesn't make any sense, because this guy didn't make any sense. Andre,
I'm actually drinking that beer right now. The Hoofhearted, did we just become best buddy, buddy?
Yeah.
So.
It's a good beer.
That's what I got.
I've got a glass of red wine myself, so it's all good.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Andre Rand's life was vividly explored in Joshua Zeman and Barbara Brancaccio's 2009 documentary, Cropsey. I think we mentioned that at the top. They worked to depict what actually happened and how Rand became known as Cropsey. The film takes the approach sort of questioning whether or not Rand is actually the prototype for the boogeyman-like Cropsey figure, but his true nature would be far worse than any scary children's tale. Quote, I call him the Hannibal Lecter of Staten Island, said Donna Cotugno, the president of Friends of Jennifer for Missing Children, a volunteer group that still searches Willowbrook's 385 acres twice a year in search of other missing girls. The only issue I have with that statement is he didn't actually have any cannibalism.
Yeah.
But, as she says, he terrified a whole community and he still haunts us. Well, when all is said and done, Rand won't be haunting anyone's life ever again. He will die in jail where he belongs. If you want to see this truly disgusting creature, you can Google him. You'll find what actually has become probably one of the most famous arrest pictures of any idiot like this guy. He's literally drooling as he's taken into custody. He's like got a long string of like spittle coming out of his mouth.
I don't need to see it.
It makes him look even more ghoulish than he are. And he's got these weird, almost like sunken cheeks.
He's a weird looking dude.
He looks as creepy as what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does. It's disturbing.
Facts.
Yeah. So that is the horrifically awful story.
The boogeyman. All in honor of October. Or...
Cocktober.
I just wanted you to say
it. I knew you did. That's why I
totally
said it.
Totally made my night. And with that, I'm out.
We're out.
The boogeyman's locked up. Y'all can sleep all tonight.
Yes. Yes. And enjoy your version of whatever spooky season is to you.
And I'll be enjoying my last cup of coffee.
I think you'll be enjoying your last glass of beer, buddy.
Cheers, buddy.